Hello. Welcome to Big Head Mode for another week. I'm your host, Ben O'Brien. This is 2RRR's weekly gaming show where we discuss everything about video games in an hour. So we better get cracking. I will be joined shortly in the studio by old hands at the old Big Head Mode game, Carlo Ritchie and Simon Cragen. They're off questing right now. I'm sure we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, let's do a bit of housekeeping. We do have a bonus stage coming up on Wednesday. All the details for that are on our website. It is our monthly stage gaming talk show, where we do a bit of this on stage, a bit of sketches as well. We have some great guests coming up in this show. We've got Stephanie Ben-Dixon from Good Game, ABC's Good Game, and comedian Daniel Towns. And look, it's always a hard one to talk about because we don't want to give away. You don't want to give away too much, you know. We got a bit of exciting things coming up. I will say there'll be some Zelda. You will hear a bit of the old Zelda. We may be playing a fantasy game that involves dragons, which does not narrow it down in terms of the fantasy genre. But there you go. You know, what more do you want from me, eh? I've given you a bit of sizzle. And look, so all the details for that are on our website, bigheadmode.com.au, as well as the podcast for this very show, you know, if you wanted to chuck a like, subscribe, ratings, all that sort of stuff. All that sort of stuff that just means the internet lets us do more things. I've been good. Speaking of dragons and killing stuff, I've been playing a lot of Dragon Age Inquisition recently. Going back, trying to finish it off. Foolishly, at the suggestion of Ray Johnston, tech advisor, works on Kotaku, among other things. At the foolish suggestion of Ray Johnston, I've been trying to collect all of the bloody shards in that game. And look, if you've played Dragon Age Inquisition, there are a lot of shards. There are a lot of shards in that game. Shards, if you're unfamiliar, are just a meaningless collectible. There's nothing interesting about them. You collect a certain amount, you can unlock this vault which has loot in it. It's a lot of work to go through for loot. And you know, I really like that game. I like the story in it. I like the characters. But I am coming to realize just how little that game respects your time. Because it gives you a lot of fetch quests, a lot of grinding things to do. And there really isn't much reward. I've recently, just yesterday in fact, closed the last of the rifts. Which, you know, it's basically the whole purpose of your character. You've got this magical thing on your hand. You can close these rifts that all these demons and hellspawn come into this world. And there's like heaps. There's, I'd say, maybe 90 plus rifts in the world. And each rift means you've got to fight a bunch of guys. And then after you've fought them, you can close the rift. So you're looking at, I don't know, 5 minutes per rift. You know, varying depending on how hard the enemy's in it, because they, you know, the enemies can get harder, progressively more difficult. So it's a lot of game time, and I finally close the last one, and like that's your sole purpose. You're the chosen one bearing this thing, and I close the last one. You know what I got from it? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. There's no reward. There's oddly enough, there's not even an achievement. You get an achievement for closing 75 of them, which isn't all of them. So after I got that achievement, I was sort of like, I even pondered for a while. Should I keep going, or should I, you know, should I stop? There's an achievement. I've got what I needed. And I went, you know what? No, I'll keep going. Because you know what? If I know Bioware, and I think I do, they'll give me something extra special. And they gave me nothing. They gave me sweet jack all. Now, someone who knows a little bit about Bioware games is my good friend Carlo Ritchie, who is in the studio now. Carlo.
Ben, how are you?
I'm good. And you've brought company to Simon Cragen.
We've been questing, Ben.
Oh, yeah, you have been questing.
We found lots of rupees and chests and no keys for those chests.
We had to find the secret recipe for a craft brew.
Well, we found a lot of them.
Look, I don't know if you heard what I was just saying about Dragon Age Inquisition.
But that
sounds more rewarding than anything I've done in Dragon Age.
Yeah, well, I was just listening to you. You had just closed all the rifts, and you got sweet nothing for it.
Yeah, have you done the same thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
You do get, if you close all the rifts in Ferelden, you get a little quest with Solus. But that's it.
That's about it. Yeah. So, I mean, you haven't played Dragon Age. So
I haven't. I've watched Kylo play a fair bit of it, though.
You've probably got the full experience.
Yeah, pretty much.
You've seen him press A on a lot of things.
I've started every single game, and I've played about maybe 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then remember why I didn't really like it, and just moved on, or moved back to GTA 5.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, why wouldn't you? It's a great game.
Yeah. I think it could be a game that I could really get into, but... By the sounds of it, it's a game you really have to invest a lot of time into.
The annoying thing is, it's not even that you have to invest a lot of time. You could play the story bits that are interesting, but I feel like BioWare games just train you to collect everything, because in previous games, we've been sort of educated into knowing that there's like this. Yeah. It's worth it. You get stuff from it.
I think a lot of the BioWare games that I've played, the ones that I've really enjoyed, are the ones that I've had time to maybe put a whole week aside and just play till my eyes bleed.
Yeah. That is a problem, Simon. I have been meaning to talk to you about that whole eyes bleeding.
Bloody eyes.
But they seem, particularly the Dragon Age games, and really Dragon Age Inquisition, seems so entrenched in fetch questing, much more than previous BioWare games.
And Mass Effect isn't like that.
Mass Effect 3 became a bit fetch questy. You know, like you would have to go and bring me this banner for the Turian Third Legion. You know, that kind of stuff.
I felt like most of their fetch quests were pretty easy. Like,
yeah.
I respected it when the worst of the fetch quests, you could all just do them all from the map screen.
Yeah.
So you didn't
yeah.
actually have to go down and collect someone. Whereas, like, so many of these fetch quests in Dragon Age are just like, collect me 10 of these things in this area. And it's like, well, we'll just... All right. I mean,
are you going to give
me something? Sure. I mean, why? I'm the chosen one. You put me on this pedestal. You all worship me as some sort of deity, but you really need 10 bears killed. So, sure.
And the game's not built, like, the story isn't built to include the idea that you're stopping to do all of these things. It's not like,
no.
They're always like, we've got to go and close these rifts. I'm like, yeah, but I need to be level 18.
Yeah.
And to get to be level 18, I'm going to have to do some
bears.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, like, how many demons do you think have, like, spawned from those holes into flood the world while you're off collecting shards?
Yeah.
The other thing too is it's got that Skyrim syndrome where it doesn't take into account your status in this world. Like when you're the head of the Inquisition and you've got all these people at your disposal, it's like, why am I the one who's going out and picking flowers so some guy can make a potion? Like, delegate, Inquisitor, you gotta bloody delegate.
No character in any game that you play has ever learnt the skill of delegation.
Yeah.
They're always it just should not, be... if you want something done right,
it should be a skill tree, do you reckon?
Yeah, it should be.
It would be. A delegate option where you just go, actually, look, my mate here, like Sven, he can go get flowers. He grew up in that area. He knows where they are. I've got stuff to do.
Once you're the highest level delegation, you can play the whole game from a single room in the game.
It also makes me wonder, like, it makes me feel that if people in the Inquisition were aware of, you know, like, my inability with some of these fetch quests, they would start to doubt my ability as Inquisitor. They're like, how can you even be the Inquisitor if you can't even get all the shards in the hinterlands?
Well, I don't know about you, Daisy, but he can't kill a bear.
That's right. He closed that rift, but you know what? I haven't seen a bear paw hanging around his neck, so...
She thinks she's so good, but she's never even taken Philandus up that mountain there.
She couldn't even take my dead wife's ashes and sprinkle them off a cliff. How could she save the universe? It's like, well, that's a really personal thing, man. Like, maybe you should do that yourself.
Take your own wife to her grave.
Oh, mercy. So, you know, Dragon Age aside, have you guys been playing anything in particular?
I've since last being on, I've been sort of finishing the playing through the pre-sequel Borderlands. We talked about it when I was last on, but I only had a chance to play, like, I think, 3 missions or something.
And the time since you've been on then as well, 2K Australia's closed down.
Yes. Very sad. Yeah, that is sad. Because there was such a... I feel like maybe... I mean, it's a great game.
Mm.
Any listeners of the show will know my love for the Borderlands franchise. But... But that game was so good specifically for Australians.
Yeah.
Because it was just entrenched with things that I just don't think American audiences would have gotten. Like things like the swag man popping up and or that
going
stuff
fetching
about
that jumbuck.
Yeah, fetching the jumbuck. Just some of the phrases that are just the random people in Concordia say. Yeah, I'm really enjoying that.
As the enemy. Scavs.
Yeah, scavs. Yeah, scavs. Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a real loss. It's a real loss, I think.
One thing that Simon and I have really noticed about playing Borderlands as well is they really even though the multiplayer is great in those games, I feel like you've got to do that on a second playthrough because you miss so much in the story elements and the narrative elements by playing through with a team.
There's a little reference to something or a little joke in every single line of dialogue in that game, I think. It's one of the most... it's one of my favourite written games in terms of the dialogue and everything that's incorporated into it, just because it's not always that funny, but we always appreciate the fact that they've given it a go.
Yeah. Oh, good on you. Points for trying.
Bloody good on you.
Have a bloody gold star.
Thanks, Maurice.
Look, this is the Agency Heist from GTA 5 soundtrack. Let's give this a play. Come back, talk some gaming news.
Welcome back.
Hoo-hoo-hoo. Heisted up.
And I just got a successful street pass with you, Ben, so...
Did you now?
Boom!
Have I got anything to look forward to, message-wise?
Maybe a little personal greeting.
Those playing at home, street pass is the 3DS's social aspect.
That's right.
Is this you doing a solid for the listeners, or is this you wanting to know for yourself?
It's a bit of both. It's a bit of both.
Yeah, so you create a me on your 3DS, and then... Ben also creates a me, like a little avatar, basically. And when your avatars are close to each other, then they meet each other at the door of your house.
Have you ever had a creepy one? Like, someone's just been like...
I reckon I've been...
Someone's described you really...
I've been the creepy one for people, I reckon.
Yeah,
because I've said it before on the show, but my me just says, they took my kid! I'm very proud of it. I don't think I can ever change it. I feel like I'll just be trying to outdo myself and it won't work.
We've all thought it, Ben.
We've all thought it.
You haven't ever had somebody comment, nice Zelda shirt, or?
No. No, I haven't.
I'm sorry, buddy.
It is a lovely Zelda shirt, Carlo. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
It's subtle, too. It's subtle. Yeah. That's what I like about it.
Thanks. Look. Thanks, guys.
Let's crack into some news, guys. Let's crack into some news. It was a corker of a news day today, because, I mean, a lot of the news breaks earlier in the week. I feel like when we get to talk about it on the show, it's late. Today, two big-ass news announcements. Mad Max gameplay trailer, which was phenomenal. So phenomenal, I think we'll save that for later in the show so we can spend a good, solid chunk of time talking about it. But the other thing was, which I know may mean more to me than you two, but Marvel making an exclusive deal with Telltale Games to make a bunch of games based on Marvel properties, which is amazing.
That's pretty cool. I'm a big fan of Telltale Games.
And I've been waiting for Marvel to actually make games... for so long. I mean, like, Avengers was such a smash hit, and like, it's just criminal that there is no
Lego
game.
Lego Marvel, Ben? Was that not a winner for you?
No.
I never played it. No. It'll be great. Telltale's out, like, bringing all of our favourite
Marvel
characters to life.
Who are your favourite Marvel characters, Carlo?
Oh, the Avengers.
Yeah, okay. Who else?
Captain...
Which Avenger?
Rocks.
Captain Rocks.
Captain Rocks, yeah.
She's great.
Cool. Oh, she's great. Yeah,
I like her Rocks powers.
She's always like... Rock. I love that. Tree Man and the Huggy Rat.
Huggy Rat, yeah.
Little Huggies. Little Huggins. Little Huggins.
You're just going off the latest movie that you've seen.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy, which I think you have. It is Marvel. So
it is, yeah.
You've at least ticked that.
I remember the intro of that film. And that it said it was Marvel.
Have you seen any Marvel films apart from Guardians of the Galaxy?
I saw Iron Man.
Okay.
Tin Man.
Tin Man. The Flying Tin Man. The Great Flying Tin Man. I saw that. And The Great Flying Tin Man the second.
Did you actually see the sequel?
Great Flying Tin Man comes again.
Yeah. Great. the tinning.
Well, look, it's a... I mean, I'm sure you could probably list fake Marvel names all day, and you would if
you
I didn't
what?
Stop things
you
now.
You know what's definitely going to be in the Telltale Games Marvel
Which
edition?
One?
A conversation with Bruce Banner where you're trying to not make him angry.
Yeah. That's exactly it. Mashing A to not get angry. Yeah, I mean, what kind of... I put a message out on Twitter before saying any games in particular people... would want, you know, and we've got a few ones. We've got Moon Knight, which, let's see if I can sell you on Moon Knight. He is a vigilante by night.
Okay.
It sounds like another character from Carla's Marvel universe.
He's schizophrenic, he has multiple personalities, and it's very much the comic book version of schizophrenia rather than the incredibly troubling reality of as a mental disorder. He, you know, he has lots of colourful identities, including the the guy who drives his own cab, and like, you know, he's got a bunch of weird personalities in his head. He worships the Egyptian god of death.
Anubis?
No, it's a fictional god of death. Actually, maybe the Egyptian moon god.
Oh.
Yeah. And so he just
is
goes
this
out.
An existing character?
It's an existing character. It's a weird far out character, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
It was one of the like weirder 70s characters that was a real stretch, and then later on, a more contemporary writer just picked up his character no one was doing anything with, and just wrote some crazy like weird stories for him, and like became a sort of a cult favorite.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I could tell. He's the one that you'd probably audition for, Carla.
Moon.
Another one suggested, and this is very niche Marvel, but Aaron Stack, Machine Man.
Oh yeah,
which sounds corny, but it's a really funny. It's a satire. Basically, it was written in this series called Next Wave by Warren Ellis, and the whole thing is a satire of the Avengers. Including one of the characters' name is just the Captain, because his real name is Captain, some obscene word that no one ever wants to pronounce. Like, it's just a swear word that's always blurred out. So, and that'd be good. Like, I mean, I love Tales of the Borderlands so much. Yeah. It would be cool to see, even though it is a huge property like Marvel, it would be cool if they stuck to sort of relatively obscure, interesting properties instead of just going, bang, here's the Spider-Man Telltale game.
It's what they did for Game of Thrones. I mean, there were big characters in that game, but it was following a house that we hadn't heard of.
First good Spider-Man game, though. You know, you never know.
As someone pointed out to me, it could actually be the first time that you really get to play as the alter egos of the superheroes, not just the punching, kicking version. Mm. But you know, it's a game where you actually could be Peter Parker for a chunk of it.
Most of it is just you're carrying out your normal day life, and then when you get your costume on, it just cuts to the next bit where
you're putting it, taking it off, and having a shower.
Yeah, boy, that was Mache. Exciting. Anyway, gotta get this bloody homework done.
Yeah, all the action scenes are just a cutscene. You just watch. So look, I'm pretty excited for that. I'm pretty excited. It's not until 2017 we won't see the first of the what game it is. They haven't said anything about what it's going to be. They've just said that they're striving for authenticity and it will feel exquisite and sexy. So,
should we try and make a guess at the next Telltale game?
You mean from Marvel or just in general?
No, just in general.
Like, well, which franchise? Because you know what, the one that they're doing before, they're doing a Minecraft story game.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like a narrative game based on the world of Minecraft.
Oh, like, that'll be interesting.
They're so unpredictable.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
They'd make a great Star Wars.
Yeah.
And they'd really fill that void that, I mean, obviously Battlefront's coming out, but that narrative Star Wars game void that just because there's no bloody Knights of the Old Republic game being announced. So
I'm
we
sure
need
it's
going to
be
or
announced.
Or the cancelling of 13-13.
I'm convinced that it's going to get announced at E3. Convinced of it.
Well, speaking of E3, they also announced today Square Enix are going to have their own dedicated E3 presentation.
At last.
They're going to be talking about, you know, the games that are coming out. Tomb Raider, I think Deus Ex is among them. But I thought it was interesting because, you know, a month or so ago, Bethesda announced they were doing that same thing, and people got very excited. And it's kind of becoming this trend, I think, that you know, all of these publishers are just announcing to do that, like, you know, their own separate thing. That's kind of like
they're announcing the announcement, aren't they?
To an extent, yeah. But it's sort of like, is it just a sign to me that E3 is so flooded with stuff that it's so hard to get your game seen that people are just trying to do whatever they can to make their things stand out. And it also makes me wonder, like, what the hell are Microsoft and Sony going to show? Because if you remember, like, last year's E3, a lot of Sony and Microsoft stuff was, like, Call of Duty and things that were made by other developers.
Mm.
It's going to be, like, some guy from Microsoft going, oh, yeah,
Well, we thought Goat Simulator was pretty good, so we're going to
guys like goats, right?
Donkey Simulator. It's pretty much the same.
Guys, you like party support? Well, we're bringing it back.
Eventually. Maybe. They had a bit of a shocker, actually. They financially, Microsoft did just I think it was a 20% revenue drop in the last month, or ever since they launched the reduced cost Xbox Ones, it didn't have the Kinects.
Wow.
Which I think is interesting. I mean, a lot of people are going, "Ooh, this is bad market," but then others are pointing out that it means more people probably now have an Xbox One in their house than did before.
Mm.
So it's sort of like it's a loss now, but it could mean
Don't understand how that
more
happened
later on.
So that much margin in a Kinect.
You make that well, it was like $150 or whatever it was subtracted from the total cost.
Yeah, right.
So I guess that's, you know.
Yeah.
That's pretty substantial if they sold a lot in the last.
I've never used my Kinect.
I just yell things at it when it does the wrong thing.
It doesn't recognize me because of my bloody beard.
It's got a begonophobia, which is fear of a beard.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. It's a real thing.
Jokes, games, and a couple of facts.
A bit of facts. Get a bit of learning into you.
You'll laugh, you'll play games, and that's a fact.
Now, this is... Halo 3 ODST is about to drop on the Master Chief Collection.
Boom, boom,
as a downloaded thing. I think there's a small window of time that people will actually get that for free. It was like an apology thing that 343 said that anyone who had who owned the Master Chief Collection in that first month or whatever it was when and beyond when it just didn't work. So you will be able to download that for free. Otherwise, I think it's
That and Reach, my two favorite games.
Yeah, me too. I'd more likely to play that than I don't know, maybe Halo 1. You know what I mean? Like I feel like I already had got the experience of that with the when they re-released the Anniversary Edition.
It was such a funny. Yeah, well, that's why the Master Chief Collection is the third time they've released that game, isn't it?
Probably the fourth, because they released like a full edition of it on, like a slightly different version of it on PC. Yeah. I think
I bought the collection and I started
never
playing.
Played it.
No, I did. I started playing it. I started from the very start and was looking at the new remastering. You were swapping from what it used to be and what it is now, and I was like, "Oh, that's great! Yeah, this looks really cool." And then I was like, "I've played this game. Like, I've played all these games."
Now you can play another one of them. So you got that to look forward to, buddy. Hey. All right. Let's go to a break. Let's come back. And we'll talk about a few more news items. But in the meantime, this is a track from the new Avengers film titled New Avengers. Came out
all of them
just yesterday in this great old country of ours. It really makes you really makes you proud. So look, this is New Avengers from Avengers Age of Ultron. We'll be right back. 2RRR.
Here we go! Big and
well, here we go. On to some more news, chaps. That song again before, New Avengers from the Avengers film. Let's get talk a bit more news. This story, I think, was amusing. There's a PC game that wants to ban jerks and bullies, and some people are angry about it. This is a game called The Killing Floor, Killing Floor 2, and they've got some rules exclusively saying that they
but
will
don't
not
let
tolerate...
The floor, don't let the names get you, man. It's more of a metal grate.
Yes!
Simpsons
Choir. Okay, guys, we all had fun. High fives. All right.
Sorry, I interrupted you. Go
that's
on.
That's all right. That's all right, Simon.
Well, we because saw it that was bit of news.
Let's just skip over this one bit.
Look, they want to stop people from being jerks, and the jerks are annoyed at it, all right?
Classic jerks.
They've got a bunch of rules that if you actually are a bully, or if you're abusive, or if you're trolling, or anything like that, this is what they say. If we find you're a cheater or abusive, we will revoke your CD key and ban you from the Killing Floor 2 servers, and then we'll tell your mum. Your license will also automatically terminate without notice, and you'll have no right to play Killing Floor 2 or any Killing Floor 2 mods against any other player, or make any use of Killing Floor 2. End of story.
Wow.
It's pretty brutal.
Good on them.
Yeah. That's what I reckon. A lot of people are like, well, we should be able to play the game however we want.
Should be able to bully people.
It's my right to be a dickhead on the internet.
Things like sending messages, abusive messages and things, surely that's policed anyway. Like,
well, I mean,
are they just taking
if
a hard
it's a written message, but if you're talking on a headset like just trolling, or I don't know. I mean, they can only police so many things, I think.
But it's not like bullying is in... I mean, we play a lot of GTA 5 online, and it's not like finding one person who's caught out
you mean,
in the woods and
just gunning them down in pig masks.
Putting pig masks on and chasing them with hatchets.
I don't know what you're talking about, Simon. I've never done that.
is that bullying? Like, could that be like, oh, these
not
guys
if you're having fun.
Me. Well, we are, but...
It could be. It could be, but I mean...
They're terrified.
But Rockstar sort of introduced that passive mode.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it always feels like you're sort of cheating the game, but...
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, there are measures, I guess. Yeah, so okay. Some developers, they put in-game measures to get away from it. Whereas these guys are just like, nah, if you do it... I feel like the Rockstar approach is just kind of like... It's like the parent going, well, look, you just go to your room and play with your toys and ignore Johnny. He's being rude, you know? Whereas this is just like, Johnny, if you do that again, I'm kicking you out of the house.
It's you're not allowed to the here orphanage. Anymore.
Well, it's more like the Rockstar is kind of like the Gandhi approach. And the approach...
What's else in the news, Ben?
Killing Floor 2 is more like about the Indian militias that were fighting against British rule.
That's very true. That's very true. Now, speaking of Gandhi... There's a really interesting game coming out called Ancestors, the Humankind Odyssey. And this is a game coming from...
Well,
that did link well, didn't it? Yeah. No one's more surprised than me, Carla. it's a game coming from Patrice Désilets, who is the original creator of Assassin's Creed. Not the guy who went on to make all the games, but he was just the guy who made the concept of the first game, who I'm pretty sure left straight after that first game. And it's a really interesting sounding concept. It's basically, it sounds very similar to Assassin's Creed in concept. It's a game that's going to involve you going back through history, except from the...
Is it called Hitman Coda?
Hitman what?
Coda.
No. Okay. No, it's not, Simon. Okay. I just told you what it was called, and you weren't paying attention.
Sorry.
I'm so sorry. They released a teaser trailer, and the teaser trailer was just like a timeline... Starting at 2003, saying human DNA decoded, going back through like Dolly the Sheep, Fall of the Berlin Wall, Man on the Moon, da 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 da, all the way back to like first tools, all these significant history dates. And the concept of the game, it sounds like it's just a sort of, they describe it as like a narrative documentary sort of game. The player gets to relive the greatest moments of mankind with a documentary twist. And our civilization is one idea away from extinction or evolution. So it sounds like it's episodic. It sounds like it's kind of like a Telltale Games sort of thing. It sounds like it could be like a documentary history of the world, but you have some sort of narrative control over the way things happen. Mm. It sounds like a time travel simulator.
Sounds like maybe Doctor Who.
Yeah, yeah. Except it's like from the sound of it, it is all. Let me see. It's a third person episodic action adventure survival game.
Survival.
Yeah.
Wow.
That sounds really cool. I'm hoping that that's because, you know, you're going back to these time periods and you're witnessing it from the point of view of someone in that time period. So it's not like you're going back as like Joe Smith in his, you know, jeans and jacket going, wow, this is the past. But it's like, you know, you're looking at, I don't know, the Aztec life through the eyes of a, you know, small Aztec boy or something.
Oh.
You know, that's what I'm hoping. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah.
They are saying that they lost me a bit when they said, we're casting at the moment to find a main character. We want someone who's like Tom Cruise. I was like, well, do you?
Sounds a bit learny for me.
A bit too out there for you, hey, Simon?
A little bit educational.
Well, I've got something a little curious. That sounds too interesting and too informative, giving you too much information. How about a game that does the opposite of that? I like to call Destiny. Now... They announced more Destiny stuff this week as well.
More
Destiny stuff. But this actually, it sounds like they're trying really hard to fix all the things that they screwed up so horribly.
We're begging you.
Please come back. Basically, they brought all these changes that mean you just don't have to grind for stuff anymore. I mean, there's still things you need to collect, but there's now... there's a material like swap exchange, so any material that you need, there's sort of an alternate way you can collect it other than just going out into the wild and just hoping for the best.
Yeah, that was genuinely the thing that drove me away from that game. Is like, you look at all this great gear in various different people have, and you think, oh cool, what do I need to get that? I need to earn reputation for this. How many have I earned so far? Being, you know, now a level 21. I've been playing for quite a while now. I've got 2 out of 200. Oh, okay, yeah. So I've got a fair bit to go. And
well, now I think you can buy like Ascendant Shards, Ascendant Energy. You can just buy all that stuff outright.
Oh.
Or you can swap. So if you have energy but you need shards, you can just do a clean swap. Swap one energy for one shard at the speaker. Like you can get all that stuff. Modes of Light, all that kind of thing. Simon, stop poking colour. one of the new things that I think sounds the coolest is there's this new collectible called, and they're great at naming this shit, honestly, Etheric Light.
Ah, yes.
Etheric,
I think. From Ethereal. And then it becomes etheric, I guess.
Yeah,
but probably. Ethereal is an adjective itself. You would just say Ethereal Light.
And that would sound more like a Destiny sort of thing, wouldn't it? Ethereal Light.
Yeah.
In fact, that sounds annoyingly like a Destiny thing.
Maybe someone has got confused and they're like, we need an adjective for ethereal.
I can explain to you.
But we want to make it a little bit more sci-fi.
Yeah.
I don't even have time to tell you what Etheric Light is, Carlo. So we'll never know. But what it does is it allows you, once you collect it, allows you to upgrade any bit of gear, weapon, armor, anything to the maximum level based on the update. You know how the last update just made all of your stuff redundant? You had to get new versions of everything.
Yeah.
You just get one of these things,
pop,
and you can level up any of your bits. So it means that if you've got stuff you're attached to and you just don't want to have to play
any of your
bits. You're thinking bits. Yeah, that's what I'm pretty sure that's what the speaker says. Give me some of your bits. I'll level them up for you.
The Cabal's bits are crafty.
Look, is any of this tempting you guys? Hey?
Do you mean buyers in with real human dollars?
No. It's part of the new
there's probably a new resource and it's called Taraman Coin. And you can find Taraman coins if you collect
in your wallet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you pay us.
If you go to a bank.
You know, I said no really quickly there, but in a roundabout way, yes, because it's part of the new DLC, the House of Wolves DLC, which is the new expansion coming out.
You have to pay for?
I mean, I got the season pass, so
yeah, I said it. I think I did too.
Actually, yeah, you got the edition that I think gives it to you for free. So high five up top, buddy. There we go. Still, everyone else is
not gonna play.
You collect these things in the new. There's like a co-op horde mode type mode in the new thing. It's a gladiatorial arena where you just go there, kill enemies for sport. It's real satisfying, real fun.
That sounds
no
cool,
ethical
actually.
Problems with it. Well, I think so, because it's sort of like, that's the thing that's fun in the game, and at least this way you can just admit, look, there's no story at all.
Yeah.
Let's just kill things, get the loot. That's what we're all here for.
Yeah.
All right, let's cut through the bullshit.
And we can all start doing raids quicker.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the other thing. You can, like, when this update comes out, presumably we can get a few of those ethereal light things, level up our characters, and we can do that bloody raid that we still haven't attempted. So,
well, we've attempted it. We just haven't finished it.
The second one we haven't even attempted. I mean, we're not even high enough level.
Let me finish the first one first, Ben. All right, just calm down.
And they've also detailed the two new areas, the new social spaces, Queen's Bay. That's all it is, Queen's Bay. Okay. And it's like another exploring area. You guys are just full of laughs tonight. But you know what? Enough bloody Destiny chat. Let's talk Mad Max. Hey?
Yes.
Yeah.
Should we talk Mad Max?
Mm-hmm. Finally.
Okay. Ugh. All right. That's pretty good. That's pretty cool at that trial.
Yeah. The gameplay
it
trailer.
It is good.
Yeah.
Mm. I do have some concerns.
And the movie trailer, but go on.
I do have some concerns. And one is that this, like, I didn't see any women at all in this trailer. Like, there's not a single female character. And I don't know if that means that they're kind of going with the original Mad Max thing where...
I'm just thinking how many Mad Maxes, how many women there were in
the
movies.
The thing, like,
quite a few in the new movie. There's like Charlize Theron.
Yeah, but she's a slave or something.
She looks pretty
badass. Isn't that part of the story, that they enslave women? Or...
Well, that's a big thing about the Mad Max films is like women were kind of like prizes and it was like very... So this objectified...
Women and fuel were the two things.
I don't know if that's the old movies thing.
Not in the first one, but in the second one, it became a big...
Yeah.
A big...
In the third one, they righted that wrong with...
No, the second
was
one
it
was
Tina
about
Turner?
The... That was the third one. That's,
Yeah, I'm saying that's when they solved the problem of not being enough women by putting in a really strong, impressive character. The second one, they're fighting over fuel.
It's a refinery.
And they've
got that big road battle where he's
road
getting the tanker away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then at the end, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen this movie from the 80s, they've got sand in it. It was a big decoy.
Come on.
Mate.
I said spoiler alert.
If you look closely, all the sand was actually women.
But, yeah, I am concerned. Like,
yeah.
Because it is easy to go, oh, we're just sort of following suit. But at the same time, you have complete license to be subversive and and progressive in that
I'm trying to, I thought that there was a female voiceover in the gameplay trailer. Am I imagining that? Was that maybe that's I'm thinking
that might be
the movie.
But I couldn't say for sure either. I ignored most of that.
I was looking at the sweet
cars.
The
voiceover, yeah. Because in that, like, have you noticed this funny trend in all these open world games that, like, they've copied Rockstar and they all have that same authoritative voice that does the voiceovers. In the world of Mad Max, you can drive a car anywhere you want to.
Yeah.
And it's just like that same it's like you picture this guy in a trench coat just like smoking a cigarette in the air, voiceover booth going, Mad Max the game.
What's next? Grand Theft Auto. Okay, load it up.
I gotta get more cigarettes. I'll be right back.
Yeah. But yeah, that's just a concern. I mean, we haven't played the game yet, so.
I have. It was great. I'm just amazed that it's gone from a game that was sort of, on the scale of hype for me, like, I acknowledged the game existed. That was the level I was at.
Is it because it's a game made after a movie?
No, it's just the fact that, like, they announced it ages ago and they hadn't shown anything compelling.
Oh, I wasn't aware that there was...
Well, they announced it like a year ago.
Yeah, and then there was...
Maybe even longer. They had a CGI trailer, which, I mean, that's never impressive, because it's like, great, you know how to animate stuff. Show us, like, call me up when you've got a bloody game to show off. And this is the first actual gameplay footage they've seen. It was meant to come out late last year, originally, I think.
But it is meant to tie in with the movie.
It's so like, that can be like loosely, sign. But I don't think it's based on the movie.
No,
But it's sort of like.
But they're remaking Mad Max and they're doing a Mad Max game at exactly the same time.
Yeah.
Is that a warning sign to you guys being like, oh, it might just be.
No.
Well, we're doing a movie. Let's cash in
not
on it.
Not in this time, because it seems like they started early enough that it's been given time to become its own thing.
Mm.
Like, it makes me think it'll probably be more like Shadow of Mordor. Like, it might be quite an interesting...
Yeah. It looked like it was
diversion.
The same combat system from the clip.
Well, yeah, and it definitely looks like that sort of Batman, Assassin's Creed, sort of like...
Multiple
everyone
enemies.
Else politely stands to one side while you just pummel someone to death.
While you're holding someone by the throat against a wall.
Yeah. The thing I really liked was, which, and it looked really, it might be boring, but the whole scavenging mechanic, like, I liked how you just sort of,
you
stop and you just touch, you know, he just like tapping stuff. Yeah, that's good, Timber. Yeah, I'll grab that. Like, straps to the back of the car and just like drives away with it.
If customizing your car has a lot of depth to it, I think it could be really fun. That's the thing I get a kick out of. I think a lot of games is making my own stuff and being able to use it.
And the concept that really, I think, is awesome in this is that thing that, you know, uses to drag the stuff. I read an article ages ago that you can use that for combat reasons as well.
Mm. Oh,
so,
cool.
So you've got an enemy fortress. You can go up and, like, attach it to one of the outer walls or something and then just, like, gun the wall down and just, like, pull it down and then just, like, drive through the encampment.
Nice.
Is it going to be multiplayer?
I don't think so, but I don't mind. I mean, maybe I'm being lenient. Maybe I'm just I'm getting caught up in the hype because it was a surprisingly cool trailer. But it's like Mad Max is the thing I've always loved, but just something I never imagined there'd be a game of. It just seems such a, like, out of left field thing.
Yeah. Mm. I think it'd be great if it was multiplayer.
It'd be like if they just went, hey, we're making a sweet Jurassic Park game.
Yeah.
Based on the original Jurassic Park.
God, I want that to be
once again, Ben, Jurassic Park Lego?
Oh, God.
When are they going to do... Like, Far Cry should just do it.
Yeah,
they're like,
yeah.
Well, yeah, it's Jurassic Park, yep. And yeah. Then wash their hands, go collect all the millions.
The release is... The cover is just Far Cry with it crossed out and Jurassic Park written on it.
It's a good point, though. I mean, if Blood Dragon proved anything, it was that gameplay suits... A lot of different skins.
Yeah, but even just when you were playing, it was Far Cry 3, right? On the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, Far Cry 3.
With all the animals that attacked you and killed you.
Hey, and just, when you were driving
those
a Jeep through the jungle.
Cassowaries.
Oh, man.
Yeah, damn cassowaries. I mean, they evolved from dinosaurs, so let's just bloody see some dinosaurs.
Put some raptor skins on them.
Yeah.
Oh, Robert's your father's brother.
Yeah.
Hey, I'd do it. I'd pay for that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, same. So would I.
But, you know, speaking of games like these movies, that's the other concern I have for Mad Max. If there's any concern I have, it's that, like, we've played so many games that have drawn inspiration from Mad Max that I worry that, like, a lot of the stuff of that setting will seem less unique. You know, like, bandits in a wasteland. I mean, just that whole post-apocalyptic sort of thing we've just seen in, you know, Fallout and Borderlands and whatever.
I can't
like,
think
how do you
of
keep
any
that fresh?
Mad Max references in Borderlands, but I'm sure it's strewn with it.
Borderlands. I just think the whole concept of bandits and
well,
like,
no, I know. I'm saying like specifically.
Yeah.
You know how they reference a lot of. Yeah. That's, I love Borderlands. I don't know if I've.
Yeah, but I mean, again, I don't know. I don't know how you combat that. Like,
what's another rage?
Just apart from going, well, we invented Mad Max was first.
Yeah. Rage is another game that sort of.
Yeah,
has that
I mean, Rage. Yeah, Rage was basically just Mad Max.
Yeah.
Mm.
It was also kind of boring.
It was boring, yeah.
I really wanted to like that game, and I did not play much
of it. Hey, you like that level? Play through it backwards. Yes. Get ready.
What if you had the open world of Fallout with half the content and no fast travel? Yeah. Nah. And what? Character development? No.
We just made.
He's all right.
You don't need RPG skills.
Yeah. We just had to keep, you know, John busy while we were building Skyrim. We didn't have a job for him.
Thank you. Okay, John. Okay,
all right, get out of here.
Play. Where's Rage 2, scam? Man?
John Goodman really wanted to be in Skyrim, but we didn't have a part.
Yeah. But look, I'm pumped for it. The one thing I reckon I thought you'd be pumped for, especially Carlo, is Aussie accents,
because mm-hmm.
this, of course. When they first announced this game like a year ago, Mad Max in the trailer was American, and people were pissed off, as they should be. Like, he's one of the most iconic Australians.
Yeah.
He really brought, like, Australian cinema to America, to everywhere,
is
really.
Is Tom Hardy going to do an Australian accent? Probably not.
I think he is, actually.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Is it still... Here's the one thing I never remembered about Mad Max. Is it actually set in... Like, do they say, oh, we're in Australia... Well, in the first one, I think they do.
Yeah, I can't remember if they do in the first
one. The first
one
was all at that power station just near here. Like,
was it? I almost thought it was in Melbourne.
For the listener, we're sitting in Ride.
Yeah.
I always thought it was that power station. You could be right.
No.
But it was clearly. I mean, you watch the first one; it's clearly like you know, rural Australian.
Yeah.
Town.
I mean, they don't make any effort to like Americanize it or anything like that.
No, not at all.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
And but then it just like. I mean, it's a great progression to movies, because the first one is not that apocalyptic. Like, society's sort of breaking down, but there's still town, like, just what
yeah, he's a police
normal,
officer.
He works for whatever it's called,
the
like
MFP,
the Justice Society.
No,
it's some
group set up by the government to combat all the gangs that are popping up in the outback.
Yeah,
and then
but their office is just like that one hallway, and then just a giant abandoned like lot
garage down the bottom with the pursuit special in it. But then the next movie is much more like.
Things are gone.
People have gone. It's like Waterworld in the desert.
But the other thing I really liked about the Mad Max movies is that they're all kind of standalone. Like, it's the same character, but it's sort of like... It's almost like Legend of Zelda. Like, they don't really address anything that... His backstory, anything that led up to where he's there. It's just, here's this wandering dude in the desert.
Yeah.
And then he encounters this stuff. And the game seems to have done that too. The game seems to kind of... almost reboot it, or like, you know, it's given him yet another reason for revenge. Like, it starts with him getting kidnapped, and then he escapes, and then tools up and just wreaks havoc, which is what you want him to do. You know, it's gonna be a really cool scene.
Yeah.
I'm calling it now. There'll be an achievement that unlocks when you get your first leather jacket. It'll happen.
Well, that's the funny. That's the great thing about that trailer is that he's had everything taken from him. It's like even his shirt. It's just like
where's
his family,
jacket?
His car, and he's like, you know, he's got some rag pants, and that's about it.
Max, we've got your wife. Where's my jacket?
Where's my damn jacket?
I spent hours gluing the studs onto that thing. Yeah, I really hope the accents are good in that.
Yeah.
You know, like, I really hope we've just as Australians, we've suffered through terrible Aussie accents in games. Dead Island, I'm looking you square in your dumb face with your bloody awful accents.
Who?
Dead Island.
Oh, yeah.
Dead Island, you never played it, Carlo, but it was it's a lot like Dying Light, but without any of the depth in the interesting stuff and terrible Aussie accents.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Nowhere near as good gameplay.
Oh, Struth, there's a zombie down on the beach. You've got to go do something about it,
go and get his hand and bring it back to me.
Yeah, look, so it's on my list of, like, games to look forward to, and I think it's September 1st is when it's coming out, so it's not that far away either.
Cool.
Yeah, cool. And as you put out, the movie's, what, May? A few weeks?
Yeah, mid-May. Yeah.
Crikey. That's close. Mm. Crikey. Look, let's go to some messages and come back and say goodbye.
All right.
We're at the end already.
Man, that went by quickly.
It sure did. Oh. Sure bloody did, mate. Anyway, you're on Twitchable, 88.5 FM. Well, that brings us to the end of another show. Carlo, Simon, thanks for coming in, you guys.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you. So, Ben.
What say after this, we go home, play some bloody heist?
Oh, I'm so in.
Sounds like a fun plan.
Let's do it. As always, you can follow us Facebook, Twitter, Big Head Mode 2RRR, and our website, bigheadmode.com.au. We've got some sketches and videos up there. We've got Johnny Cage going to his agent. Bang. Pokemon in real life. Bang.
Boom.
Everybody Games.
Bang.
And, of course, Bonus Stage, the live gaming talk show we've got coming up this Wednesday. We're going to have Zelda. We're going to have some dragon-related fantasy stuff. Wink. We're going to have Stephanie Ben Dixon from Good Game, Daniel Towns.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of laughs. It's going to be a lot of great times. It's going to be a lot of magic.
I'm bloody excited.
Afterwards, just come play some games with us. We'll have all the games set up.
Bring your 3DS.
Yeah, we'll street pass you right up. You can see Carlo's menacing, creepy me. In the meantime, let's play out with a little song I like to call A Short Change Hero by The Heavy, which you might recognize from Borderlands 2.
Yes.
See you guys next week.